jobsinkent.com.
supplymybusiness.co.uk. Find suppliers and quote for work locally. Try us free until 1st of May 2016.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this Tuesday, the 9th of February, with me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly sorried up Jules Serkin. You're listening to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
If anybody can give me some advice on how you actually go to the loo with a sari on, I'd much appreciate it.
I'll Google it for you.
I'm having to restrict my liquid portions.
Hey, Lisa, there's got to be a YouTube video. Maybe not.
Someone weeing with a sari.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm just going to catch up on a few more tweets. The Hunting Edge have tweeted and they've said, job done. Well done, Brandon Hire, Dover Express, Vanilla Web and the Business Bunker Show. A couple of weeks ago, we did a story. Andrew and Wren, who run The Hunting Edge, which is an online country website, they're also involved in a charity that looks after a redoubt in Dover. And some tow rags broke in and nicked all their tools.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so we did an appeal on the Business Bunker Show. And anyway, they just tweeted to say, job done. All the tools have been replaced. People have donated loads of tools, security and all kinds of things. And they've ended up with more than they started with. So they're really quite happy now, which is good news. And Chili PR Social on the Twitter, Vanilla Web, could we have a mention, please, for the hashtag #TagYourLocal? That would be marvellous. Thank you. They have put a shortened link to something on there, but of course I can't see it, so I can't tell you what it is. But the easiest way to find out is to follow them on the Twitter. And there, it's all one word, Chili, with a double L, Chili PR Social. So do give them a follow. Oh, and we've had a tweet. I don't, if you remember earlier on in the show, I read out a tweet from Neville Gaunt about the BBC programme that's on tonight.
Yes, you did.
And we've had a tweet from
them. Homeless.
Yeah, yeah. We've had a tweet from them, Street Soccer Limited. That's their Twitter handle. And they said, thanks ever so much. Thank you, Nev. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to everyone for your support. And they've got hashtag changing lives, hashtag Street Soccer. Absolute pleasure. And thank you for letting us know.
I was just going to say, you remember Well Styled, which is on the Twitter, S for sugar, I-O-B... I haven't got my glasses, isn't it awful? BHU, so it's like Siobhan is her name. So SIOBHU. I'm squinting here, but that's what it is. She's got this event coming up, hasn't she, Paul Andrews?
Right.
That we've been telling people about. So I just wanted to say it's coming up in Kent. I'm merrily looking for her. I had a little poster on my. On all my things, but I've got too many Indian pictures, so I'll tell you later when it is, if she's listening, if she could tweet in the date. But it's coming up in February, so a chance to hobnob and also learn some style tips for women in business. That would be good. I've got a little email here which I want to read out, which is introduction to direct marketing for business owners and beginners. Now, this is a half-day course, various dates in March, April and May, so that sounds quite flexible. This is Daniel Lynham, and he's, of course, been on the Business Bunker Show, hasn't everyone? It's a half-day course, and it's an intro to direct marketing for beginners and SMEs, and they say they'll cover everything from data protection and what you need to know to protect your business. Also, how to update your LinkedIn and Twitter, highly essential, as we've just been hearing from the lovely Lucy. And the course will also walk you through the basics around how direct marketing can help you acquire new customers and how what the various costs would be. You will also learn some of the useful tips gained over the last 20 years working with a wide range of clients. So he's been working with large household brands and ensuring that the end... Have you lost your bindies again? What is it with your forehead?
It's creased.
Everyone else has managed to keep theirs on.
I'm old.
Martin has kept his on. Everyone.
I'm old.
I'll have to give you some more. You've got crags in your forehead. Anyway, where was I? Yes, yeah, so the cost is £60 plus VAT. It's in Dartford in Kent. And if you're interested, please go to the website, which is three, and it's written as linksmedia.com/events. And you can phone them if you've got a pen. It's 01322.
Why would you phone them with a pen? You'd be better off phoning them with a phone, wouldn't you?
If you've got a pen to write down this number, Paul Andrews. I'm just going to waggle my head at you. 01322305533. And that is from Daniel Lynham. So, again, the date there, you can flex on that. So it's March, April or May. Sounds interesting. It will be on the Business Bunker, no doubt, Mr. Andrews, as well, that link.
It will indeed.
Mr. Diligent.
It's absolute pleasure now to welcome our next guest onto the Business Bunker show. It's a fabulous, fabulous welcome to the lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Law.
Thank you.
Hello, Gemma.
Hi.
Are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for coming along and thank you for joining us on the show. Why don't you tell our listener a little bit about Gemma and who you are and what you do.
Okay, so I'm Gemma Fairclough-Haynes and my business is Orchard Employment Law, which provides legal services to businesses in the sense of employment law advice, support and tribunal representation.
It's a very important area, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Not that it's any fault of yours, you're just trying to help sort it out, but successive governments over the last few years have introduced oodles and oodles and oodles of regulations and rules and things that we can all fall over as small businesses. And that's making it increasingly difficult and scary to be an employer.
It is. It is a minefield. And so many people say to me, I just would rather not employ anybody.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's good to employ people because it helps the economy, but also as a business person, it means that you don't end up, well, you shouldn't end up too run off your feet.
Yeah.
And you're right about the government bringing in lots and lots of legislation. It was only in the last couple of years they've had the biggest employment law overhaul for about 20 years, and it's still changing. So it's important to speak to somebody or at least find some advice about what is new and how that affects your business.
Absolutely. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Your Honour. I'll put it to you. Absolutely, but there's also a lot of myths about employment as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
And that scary fear, uncertainty, or doubt, as you quite rightly identify, a lot of small businesses are at the point where they want to grow, and they go, oh, I can't employ anyone. Mm. Oh, that's, you know, oh, it's all terrible and stuff like that. There are quite a few myths about employing people and what the, you know, ins and outs of it are. From your point of view, as an employment law specialist, there must be some basics that you say to people, these are the things that you must do when you're going to employ someone.
Yeah.
Yeah? Can you run through those for free?
For free, oh goodness. The first thing I would say is to make sure you've got a contract. Whether you think the person's 0 hours, temporary, contractor, self-employed or employed, is get a contract sorted out because, you know, it's like everything, isn't it? You wouldn't enter into, you know, buy a house without getting those deeds sorted between the two parties. And get some advice, because as much as a contract is great, if it comes to the dreaded tribunal, they're going to look at what's actually happening. So speak to somebody and just say, what can I do to make sure this person is employed or is self-employed or is a contractor? Mm-hmm. And the .gov site actually isn't bad for some free advice.
Yep.
And the ACAS site, it's all right, for some free advice. So there is plenty out there in terms of employing people.
I want to make this point so that you don't have to. As an angel investor, I invest in businesses and I do a lot of stuff with startup businesses. And of course, most people that are starting a business, their whole focus in life is how they're going to deploy whatever it is their speciality is. Mm. You know, so if they were a florist, it's about flogging flowers and having nice flowers and having a good supply of flowers and da-da-da-da-da. One of the things I tell them is you've got to forget all of that. About starting a business is about getting the basics of the business right first. Before you concentrate on anything, you need a good lawyer, you need a good accountant, you need some good professional advice, and you need the basics in place. You need a shareholders agreement if there's more than one of you in it. You need articles of association, da-da-da-da-da, and all those things. And then if you're going to employ anyone, you need contracts of employment.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to tell you a story. Now, about me.
Go on, then.
I got loads of people to work for me, loads. And about 2 years ago, I employed some more people. And I gave them the standard contract of employment. And about 2 days later, this chap rang me up and he went, I've been reading this contract of employment. Have you? Why have you done that? No, I've just been reading through it. And he said, and I'm really interested because you make reference to your company's fair internet usage policy. I went, yeah. Mm. And he went, well, what is it?
Yeah.
And I went, well, it's in there. And he went, no, it's not. So I rang the office and I went, right, you've all signed this. So who's got a copy of it? And of the 50 odd people that work for me, nobody could find a copy of it anywhere. Nobody's seen a copy of it. They all signed their contracts with it in, but we've never seen it. Oops.
Yeah. And of course, you know, if you tried to discipline somebody for being on Facebook for however long and you didn't have that in place, they could easily turn around and say, well, I've never seen that policy. And
exactly.
So and so does it, and yeah, you don't do anything to them. So, you know, along with the contract, sometimes it's good to have a handbook. It's not absolutely necessary, but if you want to dot your I's and cross your T's, have a handbook which is flexible.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you know, your business should be evolving. No one wants their business to stay stagnant.
Yeah.
So every 2 years, you want to be updating those policies to make sure they're in accordance with your business as well as the law.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm guessing here, and I might be wrong, that probably quite often you get called when there's already a problem.
Yeah, and yeah. I would say, you know, call me before you have a problem. Mm. I am able to sort out problems.
She's quite nice, listener.
Yeah, thanks. I've only been here an hour. So
for a lawyer, she's quite nice.
Yeah,
she's lovely. But yeah, call me before you've got a problem, as you know, say, member of staff X has asked me a question about this, or I'm thinking about expanding into that.
Yeah.
And save yourself some pennies or some pounds, really, because if it all goes wrong, it can be quite ghastly expensive. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But we so often do this, though, don't we? We put things off until it's too late, and then we panic backward. It's like a lot of things. It's like insurance, really, isn't it? At the end of the day, people go, oh, it's expensive. I don't really need it. I can live without that. Until their building burns down, and then all of a sudden they're in trouble.
Peace of mind.
Sorry? I'm quite guilty. I actually dropped my mobile phone, and the person said to me, get insurance. I don't need insurance. Oh, it was smashed to smithereens.
You can actually get it free with a Lloyds Bank account, you know. I've got two phones on the insurance with the Lloyds Bank account.
Well, you can cover lots of things in lots of different ways, but you've got to do it. And that's the fundamental point. You know, you might shop around and do it in a different way. Mm. But at the end of the day, so many of us leave it until it's a problem.
Yeah.
And that never works.
Too late.
Because you've always got to undo the damage you've already done.
Yeah. Increasingly. And if you employ more than one person, once those floodgates are opened and one person realises there's a problem, there is, you know, without a shadow of a doubt, they're going to be telling their mates, and they're going to be telling their mates, and before you know it, you've got an army of people telling you something's not right.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah.
She's a friendly lawyer, isn't she?
She is friendly. Quite friendly. She's quite nice. Yeah, I quite like her. Yeah. She's a loud back, you put me off now. What I want to explore, Gemma, is the areas of employment law that are the most, I don't know what term to use, interesting, problematical.
Oh, so many.
Yeah, I'm sure there are. But is there something, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'll put it, for a small firm with one or two employees, what's the one thing that most of them fall over more than any other thing? Is there anything you can put your hand on, put your finger on?
A lot of the time when you've got a couple of employees is the minimum wage.
Right.
And the government doing this name and shame thing at the moment. Yeah. So you don't want to get caught on that list. And just a bit of advice is in April, it's going up again for those over 25. So it's going to be £7.20 an hour.
Yeah.
It's important to do that.
Again, we can blag you for some free advice here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because a lot of people get confused about this.
Yeah.
I pay way above minimum wage for all of my people, but I get asked about this quite a lot. So it's something, you know, because I run Jobs in Kent and we get adverts that just aren't right and I reject them because they're not paying enough. And I go, living wage. Mm. And you get all kinds of fluff about that says, oh, but they get tips or...
Oh, no.
And you can't have any of that, can you?
Tips don't belong to the employer. Yeah. Pizza Express got in trouble with this recently.
Yeah. There were a few, weren't there?
There's a few of them. So tips are tips. You need to make sure that you're paying the minimum wage and that you don't end in a problem like another well-known sports store where they were paying the minimum wage, but they wanted their staff to come in early and leave late. So effectively, when you incorporate all of those hours, they were getting just under the minimum wage. So that's quite important as well.
Well, that's the question I was going to ask because, you know, the government arbitrarily set this living wage, and it was it was just a political manoeuvre because George didn't know what else to say on the day because he didn't think this through at all. So he announced it. It's a living wage, and it's going to be this, and then it's going to go up on a sliding scale. And originally it was going to be a recommendation, but now it's law.
It will be in April.
But one of the issues is how you calculate it, because you know, I can work out that I'm paying you £7.20 an hour, as you say, if I isolate 1 hour. But you know, there's all kinds of ways that you pay people. What can you include in it, and what can't you do? So, for instance, if I pay someone a fixed salary plus commission plus bonus, I won't know till the end of the year how much they've earned retrospectively. Do you see what I mean?
I mean, I would always say the fixed salary should at least be minimum wage.
Right.
And then if they don't earn any commission, well, you're asking yourself whether you want to keep that person, but you're still in, you know, in the right in the right frame there. So that's something to be important. If you've got, and this is a bit of advice, if you've got a business like domiciliary care, where you have carers travelling from one home to the next to go and care for people, that travelling time is actually working time, and that's where a lot of those type of businesses fall down.
Well, I need to talk to you about a job I did interviewing Michelle Rue Jr. And I was all day. I had to go out of peak, so my train fare was a lot more expensive. And the company I did it for, Food Interview, only paid me half of what they should have paid me. For some reason. And again, they never put anything in writing when they took me on.
Yeah, well, you should always put some. That's the first point of call, is always put put some. You have got 8 weeks, you know. It's not something that has to be done immediately, but, you know, you want to start off right.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because this is now a politically induced disincentive for small businesses to start employing people.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to answer that. But it makes me mad when government does things like this without thinking about it, because it puts people off doing things because they get so confused. And the whole thing is actually quite confusing when you look at the different ways that people pay things and the different hours that you can work. So, you know, the way I try to look at it is I say it doesn't matter if someone's working 1 hour a week or 80 hours a week, as long as you pay them at least £7.20 for every hour you work, you're covered.
Yeah, if they're over 25.
If they're over 25, yeah, absolutely. Whereas a lot of people try to work it out based on a year's salary and how much you were paid over the course of a year in all the other things that you were paid as well.
Yeah, and that's dangerous because you can do that. There's nothing illegal about doing that, but you just leave yourself
open.
Unless you're paying well above the minimum wage, then you do leave yourself open. To all sorts of claims.
Because one of the things that you see with that is you've got an employee and you may be paying them, I don't know, £6 an hour, but you're going to give them bonuses and all the rest of it. And the employee's down the pub talking to their mates and they go, don't you get a living wage then? And they go, well, I've got £6 an hour. And they go, oh, you should be getting £7.20. And then they start on you without taking into account that you think you're going to cover it in a different way.
The other thing is, because the government will work it out as a cumulative, but you just want to make sure that you're dealing with those. But as you mentioned bonuses, I just want to let people know again that bonuses, they're not necessarily contractual.
Yeah.
And that's something as well, that if you've got a contract and you intend your bonus to be contractual, then great, put it in there. Yeah. But if you think 1 year, you know, a bonus might not be met, or there might be a financial downturn or whatever, then you do need to make it clear that
absolutely. In my contracts, I make it very clear that it's a discretionary bonus based on whether I feel like giving it to you or not. That's actually what it says, whether I feel like you've earned it or not.
I mean, again, Paul, I'm sure you know what you're doing, but you've got to be careful again when you're, if you have a discretionary bonus, have a clear policy, which doesn't have to be contractual or even in the handbook, but somewhere which says what somebody has to do to get this bonus. Because what you don't want someone to say, oh, like me, for instance, because I'm 4'11", I didn't get that bonus. And, you know, if there was a short person discrimination.
I have had age discrimination, but a long time ago before it was law.
Yeah. So, before she was even old.
I was 37, and I was too old for presenting on a certain radio station, which is in Kent.
Wow.
And if you look at the... we mustn't name names, must we, Paul Andrews? No. But if you look at the elderly people I work with now, you know.
I told
he
you
was just saying that. Yeah, you didn't mention your age.
Yeah, exactly. So there's all the minimum wage and living wage issues that we need to kind of take account of. Is there any other stumbling block for small businesses coming into the world of employment law for the first time?
Nothing's really coming in as such. We've got this zero-hour contract issue, which I've written a blog on Supply My Business. See what I did there? Because zero-hour contract workers are not employees, and this is where it gets technical. They're workers, which means they have some rights but not all the rights. And just in case you didn't know, they are entitled to holiday pay, because that's a big thing as well. And then now... in the legal industry, we're saying now zero-hour contract workers have got teeth. They've got something they can actually go into.
Yeah.
If you say to a zero-hour contract worker, you can only work for me, that's wrong.
That's illegal.
That's an exclusivity clause. Yeah. And then it was only a couple of months ago that they actually gave zero-hour contract workers rights to claim things like unfair dismissal for that. So a lot of, especially seasonal businesses, that's really important for them to keep an eye
on. Do you remember a while back there was a young lady who was wanted a job as a hairdresser and she wore a hijab?
Mm.
And do you remember the whole thing about...
discrimination.
Do you remember that story? Yeah. It was a couple of years ago and the salon was saying that she couldn't do the job because nobody would see her hair.
Mm.
So have you ever worked on anything like that?
I've worked on loads of discrimination cases. The thing about discrimination is people can be discriminated against before they've even got a job for you, with you. So, you know, last year there was a lady who, I think it was a lady, she was Jewish and she didn't want to work on a Saturday. She applied for a post and this was, I think it was retail, and we all know retail, you need to work, you know. But she's saying, no, it's a holy day for me, I can't work on a Saturday, I'm willing to work every other day. And she didn't get the post and she won a few thousands
Did
of pounds.
She?
Yeah, so be careful.
But couldn't she have worked for a Jewish shop?
But why
Golders
should she
Green
have
or...
to, is what they would
well,
say.
Well, I know, but it is difficult.
I can argue with you about that, to be honest, because, you know, to my mind, discrimination isn't acceptable in any way, shape or form. But also, why would you apply for a job that you can't do?
Exactly.
Last
year I won a case, a disability discrimination case, where the lady had, the claimant, the employee had dwarfism and she worked in a nursery. And she wasn't allowed to do the door duty because some of the children were bigger than her. And they had, you have to have two locks on a nursery door, one really high and one lower. And she took this nursery to tribunal. They were distraught. And even though
who was distraught? Sorry.
The nursery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they knew that she had dwarfism. It was quite obvious.
Yeah.
They just wanted to protect the children. And the judge did say, well, actually, this is fine. Yes, it is discrimination, but yes, you've got a good reason. So with disability discrimination, if there is a good, and it has to be a really, really good reason, that's proportionate to implementing this, then
it's interesting.
Quite often, that's a legal requirement to have two locks.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who's discriminating here? The government, actually.
Yeah.
Not you.
Yeah.
You were told that you had to do that.
I remember her saying, well, I wanted to use a broom, and they were like, but if you'd use a broom, the children would copy. I mean, it lasted 3 days, this case.
And so how much money did that court case cost the nursery?
Probably about $9,000.
That they just really probably couldn't afford.
And they won, but it's $9,000 they didn't get back. Not to mention the time that went into
and the stress.
And the stress. And
hugely stressful.
It's a very contentious subject, but we're going to have to leave it there for the moment. Gemma,
as we love a contentious subject.
Gemma, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Punk Show. Give us a shout out for Orchard Law and how we can contact you and find out more about what you do.
So I've got a brand new shiny website, www.orchard.com.
Created by
Stonk.
I saw them tweet that yesterday.
Gavin Munnings.
They tweeted, we did her website.
Orchardlaw.co.uk.
Orchardemploymentlaw.co.uk. My Twitter handle is Gemma Fairhay. It's FAIRHAY. I've got a Facebook page, which is Orchard Employment Law. Or you can contact me by phone, 01634 564 136.
Brilliant. Cool. My new husband will contact you because he's got to take someone on. So
Gemma,
that would be good.
Thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
Absolute pleasure to see you. And we'll talk to you again soon. Sorry to rush it up, but we're kind of fast running out of time. We've got another exciting guest to talk to. We've got loads of tweets. We have had a tweet from someone you may know.
Twitter is hugely busy.
Yeah, we've had a tweet from a Twitter handle called grid_res, would you believe, who say, Vanillaweb, Business Bunker, forget having to fix your gas boiler. No more Sunday afternoon Googling for fixes. Yeah, contact us. And Grid RES are providers of alternative and eco-friendly heating and air conditioning systems. And have a close association in this parish, but we'll say no more about that. I want to talk to our next guest now, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back on the Business Bunker Show. Although,
yes.
Although you haven't been in the studio before.
You gave me a lovely mention recently.
But we did give you a mention. We had a little pre-recorded interview with you a while back, didn't we, at an event. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Jill Munro onto the Business Bunker Show. Jill, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure.
Lovely little Scottish burr.
Yes, lovely, isn't it? Whereabouts? Edinburgh?
Edinburgh.
Posh Scottish,
not that posh, alas.
Posh Scottish, yeah. Sorry about that.
You've just had Burns Night, haven't you, not long ago?
We have.
Personally, yeah.
In my house.
Did you?
Believe if you look back on my Twitter, you will see the little bust of Burns that is on my little mantelpiece all the time.
I have to tell you, a couple of years ago, I got bullied into addressing the haggis, but they made me do it.
You dressed up as a haggis?
No, shut up. They actually made me do it in the original rather than English, which was a bit challenging.
It was very challenging. You do have to be not to discriminate against non-Scots reading Burns. Everyone's welcome to, but it does help if you have the accent.
Trying to memorise it was because it was gibberish to me and I didn't understand it. But anyway, it happened.
I've enjoyed a Bobby Burns cocktail on many an occasion.
I'm sure you have.
Made especially for the night.
Anyway, enough of that. So, Jill, tell us a bit about Jill and your background, because you've got quite an interesting background, I do believe. And then tell us a bit about your business and what you're doing.
Well, I have been working in PR I've always been saying over 15 years, but I realise now I need to adjust that to nearly 20 years.
So you started at primary school. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. And I started off working in PR at the Edinburgh Fringe, one of the sort of biggest arts festivals in the world. Mm. And I did PR for a couple of venues there. Mm. And then I spent a good bit of my career in London working for agencies, worked for the likes of Pizza Express, who we mentioned a moment ago, but let's skate over that. And Royal Mail were a client back then. Then I went on to work for Relate, the relationship support charity, who many people will be familiar with that name, who do great work across the UK. And then most recently at the BBC, where I was for 10 years working in different parts of the organisation. I did TV publicity. Right. I served my time doing publicity for the likes of Top Gear, Children in Need.
Very interesting.
Yeah, super, super fun. Also on the tech digital side of the BBC, I launched the BBC News app, did PR for that launch a few years back. And also in their corporate communications department, dealing with a number of, shall we say, high-profile crises that many listeners may be aware of.
We could have pulled this all into one go with that lot, couldn't we? So, we could have had lawyers involved straight away.
My top tip for PR people who are working for big organisations, definitely make friends with your lawyers straight away.
Because you're going to be spending a lot of time together.
I've discussed employment law from a PR perspective on a number of occasions.
Absolutely, yeah.
So now I run Monroe Communications. I'm working freelance. I do social media management. Kind of broadened that skill out from what I did in my past sort of jobs through an organisation called Digital Mums, which supports mums who are kind of looking to have more flexible careers, become really kind of professionalise their social media skills. Mm. And so I do social media management and some training for businesses. Right. And I also do sort of broader PR communications consultancy too.
Okay. I want to focus on the Digital Mums bit a little bit first.
Sure.
Are you part of their team, working with them, advising them? How does that work?
So I am part of their team in the sense that I have done their... I'm a graduate of them, really. So I have.
You're a digital mum,
yes,
basically.
Yes, I am one of the mums who has been digitalised by them. They're a fantastic organisation because what they spotted, really the two co-founders really spotted that there were so many people who were had become mums but really couldn't go back into the kind of jobs that used to do. So many people with quite advanced careers in PR and marketing. Mm. And really, they just wanted to work in a more flexible way. And what Digital Mums does is train you not just to do have all the digital skills, but also to become a freelancer.
Yeah.
Because for myself, working for quite large organisations, for my career, really being a freelancer was a totally new mindset and one that I'm kind of learning still.
It comes as a complete shock, doesn't it? Because you lose all of that corporate infrastructure that you normally have around you and all of that support network, mm-hmm. like corporate lawyers and
exactly.
all the rest of it. All of a sudden it all disappears and it's just little old you all on your own.
Yeah, so there's a growing band of digital mums out there. I was one of their sort of early graduates, but they're growing all the time. And in fact, Chili PR Social, who you mentioned earlier, have a digital mums link. They've been involved in that side of things too. Right. And now I am a mentor for the new Digital Mums Community Management Programme, so I'm supporting one of their current trainees who's teaching herself right. digital skills. And yeah, fab organisation. If any people who are involved in the social media scene are going to Social Media Day in London next month, you'll probably see hundreds of digital mums in there all
yeah,
chatting
absolutely.
To each other.
Yeah, I might go myself.
Yeah, because you could do with a mum.
I could. Well, I've got a mum.
I know, she's lovely.
I know she is.
I'm quite sure how she puts up with you.
Exactly. Where are you based, Jill?
I live in Deal.
In Deal. So, with your new Spark, how long have you been in business for yourself? How are you pronouncing?
Since about this time last year, kind of in earnest since last September.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, fairly new business still, establishing yourself mm-hmm. and all the rest of it. So, from your point of view, Jill Monroe Communications, PR and Communications, do you have? Are you trying to work locally? Do you have a kind of target market? How does it work?
And why did you leave the BBC? I'm interested.
Yeah, tell us the inside.
Well, it sounds like such a sexy girl.
You didn't get hit by Jeremy or something?
No, never had any head-on collisions. I think my reason for leaving the BBC was really that I was moving out of London
right.
because I found a fantastic organisation to work for and actually quite a flexible employer as well.
Yeah.
So I kind of left it with a kind of happy wave goodbye rather than I need to get out of here.
So was it the commuting thing or more flexibility or?
Really, it just moving too far away from London and, you know, it is impractical to keep...
Yeah.
You know, hang on to an old life. And really, for me, it was an opportunity to do something quite different
sure.
and do
yeah.
something new.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, absolutely.
But in terms of where I work, I've got a client in Ramsgate. I have got a client in London. I've in the past few months, worked with clients in Newcastle, Cardiff. So in the
so
kind,
you're
of,
not
in the
yourself,
kind of digital
yeah.
world, you yeah. can sort of yeah. make your links wherever
absolutely.
You like. But one of the things I've really enjoyed about moving to Kent has been the absolutely brilliant sort of vibrant networking scene that there is.
Absolutely.
Because I just haven't been part of something like that before.
Mm.
And it's been so great to meet people who do such a variety of businesses and people who go to the events like Get Social that you mentioned or some of the Chamber of Commerce events that are organised. They're at those because they're really proactive about their business. They
yeah.
really care about it and they want to do something positive with it. And I just love that mindset.
Absolutely. It is something we're blessed with in Kent. We have a very vibrant small business community.
Yeah.
Kent is a small business county. We have 68,000 businesses in the county. We don't have very many big businesses because of our proximity to London, you know, generally.
Yeah.
So we have always been a small business kind of county because the bigger businesses all hang out a few miles away. But over the last 10 or 15 years, I would say the networking scene has been the thing that really does differentiate Kent from a lot of other places. A lot of businesses collaborate, a lot of businesses work with each other, a lot of businesses spend a lot of time meeting and chatting and talking and doing stuff, and it's fabulous. It really is good. I totally agree.
And I think as well that I found really positive, obviously Lucy and I do similar things. Yeah. We'll have our own different ways of doing things, but essentially a lot of what we do is the same. Yeah. And there's lots of people around who are doing the same as us as well. Yeah. Yeah. But a really positive thing that I had at that Get Social event was, well, that's a good thing, because the more of us that are together, the more doing it, it just creates a good place for it to be happening.
Mm. You're absolutely right, and I couldn't agree with you more than anything. I totally agree with this. And the old view of competition has really got to stop, because you can't, it's no good fighting everybody. It works far better if you grow a market together, and the more of you in a market, the more that a market is growing. And the kind of businesses that we're talking about here, both Gemma's business as a lawyer, you guys as social media and PR and consulting, and even Martin's business in terms of business leads and business generation, they're all service industries that are based on relationships. And, you know, certain people get on with other people better than some others. Yeah. So in anything, it's always about your relationship and building that relationship. So you're always going to have people in the marketplace that are different to you, because your style is slightly different, your approach is slightly different, your background is slightly different. So there's loads of scope to do different things. I totally agree. I absolutely get that. So how long have you actually been in Kent, Jill?
Since last May.
So, again, not very long.
No, not long.
Okay. Mm. What made you move to Deal? Apart from the fact that it's a really nice place.
My husband's family all live there.
So, oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
We've moved down to be near all those lovely babysitters.
Ah, okay, cool.
Not entirely unselfish move.
It's a lovely place to live as well.
Yeah, super.
Yeah, although technically it's France, really.
Well, it does pop up on the mobile from time to time.
I do quite a bit of stuff at the Pines Calyx, which is a lovely building there.
Yes,
and every time I go there, I end up on French Vodafone for some reason, which is a bit of a nuisance. But, yeah, absolutely. So from your point of view with your business, what's your plan? Where do you see yourself going? Where are you moving? What's happening?
So for the next year, I see myself really getting to know more people locally, having more new clients who are geographically close to me as well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sort of keep doing that from my sort of stay-at-home working mum perspective. Mm. But then when the children are both at school, then that's the time I'll look to grow. That's the time I'll be thinking, do I need an employment lawyer?
Yeah.
Do it, you know, and get to that more sort of bigger sort of next stage. But yeah.
Cool. Okay. Again, we could talk about this forever. We're sadly running out of time. If people want to find out more about you, how can they do it? What's the best way to find you, follow you, chase you down, get hold of you?
They will find me on Twitter at Jill Munro. It's Jill with a G and M-U-N-R-O. And you'll see me on the Bee Bunker hashtag today.
Yep.
And also you can give me a call on 07720-448-197. And you'll find me on LinkedIn as well.
Okay. And I think you've also got a page on Supply My Business.
Indeed
too.
I do. Yeah. Well remembered. Mm. And thank you very much to Martin for having a great idea where we can network in that space as well.
Absolutely. Are you coming along to East Kent College on March the 14th?
I may well just do that.
Cool.
Who can resist a breakfast?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be good to see you then. Jill, for the moment, though, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker
Show. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure to hear from you. We wish you much success with growing your business. And thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Brilliant. We are so running out of time. Yeah.
I found the date for Siobhan's unique business workshop. It's for small businesses owned by managed by women. So I'm going to cut this email short because of time, but I will give you the basics. So it's to book your style and image workshop and networking, contact wellstyled.co.uk. And she is on the Twitter, as I said, which is S for sugar, IOBHUYOU. And you can contact her via me if you want to. But it's February the 23rd at the Tunbridge Wells Spa Hotel, £35 a person. So it'll be networking, but also she'll be telling you business tips about how you present yourself as the business owner, traditional suited and booted look, you know, all that sort of stuff. So it's a course there to, Siobhan is a personal stylist.
Cool.
So go there.
Thank you. I'm going to flash through a couple of tweets that we've got. Vicky Beattie Associates are saying, loving the show today, really enjoying it. And B&D Events, who are known as Butterflies 2019, on the Twitter, say, really enjoyed hearing from Gemma on the Business Bunker today. Sounds like you folks are having loads of fun. We are indeed. It's
lots
a laugh.
Of new listeners and yeah. lots of new tweeters, I'm noticing.
Yeah.
There's a thing coming up in Margate, Thursday the 11th. I don't know what it is yet because I haven't read it, but it's 12:30 until 2. Oh, it's open networking, and it's at the Orb in Ramsgate Road, Margate. Let's just cut to the chase. You need to, oh, it's a hopeless website on here. So go on to Kent Business Radio and find out when it all about it. But it's £18. Meeting host is Kay Dunbar, a mix of SMEs and sole traders. So look for that on our website.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from New Appointments Group as well, who said, Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin, Business Bunker, enjoying the show whilst working hard in the welcome sunshine. That's our sandwich HQ at Discovery Park. Oh, so thank you for that.
Good to have some Kent sunshine. Yeah. New year, new website and great business support. Wealden Business Group. Go on to peter@challenge-control.co.uk and find out more about that. Wealden Business Group.
Channel Radio News Update. It's that time in the show when we bring you news from the Federation of Small Business. There's a business breakfast this Friday with Kelly Tolhurst, who's the MP for Rochester, and she will be at the Innovation Centre, Maystone Road, Chatham, from 8 a.m. to 9:30, and she's there to meet with small businesses and small business owners from the constituency who want to come and talk to her about the trials and tribulations of small businesses, or to ask her questions or anything. She wants to meet you, so do come along. That's this Friday.
Sounds good. Government is urging employers to prepare early for the national living wage, as we were just talking about.
Absolutely.
The government says take steps now to prepare for the introduction of the new national living wage, NLW, which is from April the 16th. Go to livingwage.gov.uk.
Right. Thank you. There's an automatic enrolment pensions inquiry has been launched. An inquiry has been launched by the Work and Pensions Committee into pensions automatic enrolment, another government. The committee has asked smaller micro employers in particular to provide written submissions addressing the effectiveness or not of the automatic enrolment process. You can find out more about it by going to the website parliament.uk/business. Thank you.
The FSB is asking for smaller firms to access affordable flood insurance. So if you want to know more about that, please contact the FSB via Business Bunker Show.
In fact, we will be doing, I think the week after next, we're having a flood insurance specialist on the show that will be talking about that.
He will be coming in by canoe.
She.
Who is it? Do you know?
Julia.
Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
HM Revenue and Customs webinars. They have a webinar. You can find it on links via the kentbusinessradio.co.uk and just put in a /... news update, so you can find out about VAT, how it works, and becoming an employer, and also tax advice for the construction industry, all on that website. Smaller e-retailers reveal growing business confidence. According to the Royal Mail's annual tracker study, the smaller e-retailers are growing in business confidence, with 8 out of 10 positive that sales will increase in 2016. This outlook stems from the success in 2015, when more than 74% of e-retailers experienced an increase in sales, Paul Andrews.
Fantastic. Good news. Dragon's Den wants some applicants. We're looking for applications for those that are current business and may be interested in applying to pitch for potential investment from the Dragon's Den. It's a challenging place to pitch, but it's also a genuine business opportunity to secure investment. In Series 13, there were 24 entrepreneurs who accepted offers of investment in a den worth a combined £1.5 million, with plenty more achieving success after taking on board the Dragon's advice. If you'd like to apply, you can email for an application form to dragonsden@bbc.co.uk.
I just wanted to say also, somebody Come Dine With Me tweeted me this morning and said that they're looking for couples to appear on the show in East Kent.
Oh, I would have done that if I knew someone else.
If only you were a couple.
If only I knew someone else.
Yeah, but then who'd have you?
That is true.
Small firms still use pen and paper to run their businesses, listener. A recent survey carried out by WorldPay has revealed that one in five small business owners still uses the pen and a quill to manage the day-to-day running
you
of
made
their
that
business.
Bit up.
I did, yeah. You know me so well. Despite the availability of modern technology to assist with this, business owners also typically spend twice the amount of time on finance and admin than they do selling. The survey also revealed that 48% of small business owners were unable to identify their top 10 customers and their ordering habits, and 40% were unable to provide profit forecasts. More than half, 57% of survey respondents were unsure of their busiest trading day, and 62% could not identify their three top-selling products.
Fantastic. There's a two-year plan to increase the take-up on R&D tax credits. This drives me nuts. The amount of companies that could be getting money back for this and ignore it, because they kind of think it's some kind of PPI scam. You know, you get these people that come after you and go, have you been missold PPI? Yeah. We'll sort you out and da-da-da. This is nothing like this. This is a government scheme. And I know they can be dodgy sometimes, but this is a government scheme. Yeah. HM Revenue and Customs has announced a two-year plan to increase the take-up of research and development tax relief amongst small businesses. Measures will focus primarily on increasing awareness and making it easier for firms to apply for this type of tax relief. For example, HMRC will publish improved guidance to help increase firms' understanding of the R&D tax relief and provide business certainty through the Advance Assurance Scheme. Under the Advanced Insurance Scheme, which was launched in November 2015, HMRC will assure eligible firms that their first 3 years of R&D tax relief claims will be allowed without inquiry. Let me just emphasise what that means. If you've developed something in your business, anything, you can apply to have money back. Now, it says it's a tax credit, but you actually get cash back. You do not get it knocked off your tax bill. They actually send you the money you spent back. And that money includes salaries. So if you had a team of people working on something like developing a new piece of technology or something, you can claim the whole development cost plus the salaries of the people that did it. Okay? And it's a scheme that I've used personally on two or three occasions, and it works really well. Sometimes you don't qualify. And that's fine. It doesn't cost you anything to check. But even HMRC now are getting to the point where they're desperate for people to make more use of it before the government remove it. It's a scheme to try to get us to grow our businesses. So please do use it.
Or lose it.
Or lose it, exactly.
Is your business doing well, and are you proud of what you've achieved?
Yep.
Why not shout about it and try for a well-deserved award? Share your successes and put the recognition you deserve by entering the Kent Invictus Chambers 2016 Awards. So obviously you've got the PR power that comes with this. You've got recognition throughout the county and possibly further on. Boost your staff morale and further recruitment. So to find out more, it'll be held at Thursday the 17th of March of this year in the precincts of the historic Canterbury Cathedral nonetheless. Apply now, they say. Go to www.kentinvictuschamber.co.uk businessadvice/ or on Kent Business Radio. Indeed.
Absolutely. New figures published by the Department of Culture, Media and Sport reveal that the UK's creative industries are worth over £84 billion per year to the economy. The figures indicate that the sector is growing at almost twice the rate of the wider UK economy and generates over £9.6 million per hour. Minister for Culture Ed Vasey said government continues to create the right environment for creative industries to thrive through tax reliefs, inward investment and safeguarding music and cultural education programmes. 2016 is shaping up to be another great year right across the UK's most dynamic sector. And that's all we've got time for in this week's news update from the FSB. And we're kind of really at the end of the show, to be honest. It has gone really quickly. I've got dozens of emails still to read. There's 62 tweets that I haven't read out yet.
I've got a gazillion million tweets that I haven't read out yet.
I've got more than you.
I'm sure I've got more than you.
But what I want to tell you about now is what you can hear coming up on the rest of today's schedule for Channel Radio.
Craig Avery's back.
Yeah, basically, after the show at 4 o'clock, we have the absolutely delightful Natalie Benaigs, and we were just talking about creative industries there and their importance to the economy. Well, Natalie will be with you at 4 o'clock with Kent Creative Live, in which she talks about that very thing, the creative, artistic and general brilliance of the Kent marketplace in the field of creativity. So do join Natalie at 4 o'clock for Kent Creative Live. At 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite,
Mr. Craig Avery. Back from India himself. He's a cricket player, you know.
He was playing cricket in India. Half of our people have been in India for the last few weeks. But Mr. Avery, with his stripy socks, will be with you at 5 until 7. That is followed by... Welcome on to the new potato show. 18 tracks of unsigned, new and up-and-coming music starting at 7 o'clock, hand-chosen and presented to you by Mr. Jamie Andrews on the New Potato Show. That is on from 7 until 9 this evening. Do tune into that. Fabulous, fabulous music from unsigned bands and new artists.
Not to be missed.
Not to be missed at all. And then that is followed at 9 o'clock by our 1967 tribute comedy programme.
Oh.
I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, which will be on at 9 o'clock tonight until 10. And then right after that, we round off the night with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Full drum beat and a squidgy bass. I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, yes, we round off the evening on Channel Radio with Club Culture Show with the one and only Mr. Boy George.
Tell you what, he's really jazzed up, The Voice. I watched The Voice the other day and he is great. I love him.
He sent a tweet the other day to me about The Voice, and I can't remember who it was. He was really made up. It was
famous actress.
It was some famous actress. Did you see it?
No, you told me.
Oh, did I? I can't remember which actress it was. Something like Meg Ryan or something. Anyway, yeah. Oh, you never guess what? I've just had a tweet from Meg Ryan who said I'm better on The Voice than Tom Jones was. What about that?
Oh, I love Tom Jones as well, but I actually prefer it to, what's the other one? X Factor.
Yeah.
Because he's on it. I love him. I love Boy George.
George sent some funny tweets. I tell you, I think I mentioned this last week as well. He sent me a tweet. He said, what do you reckon about this? He said, I've just had a spam tweet from some vegans. Is that ironic or what?
He talks a lot about food and bread making.
He does, actually, yeah. Well, he was making bread the other day.
Yeah, he makes a lot of bread.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can listen to the Club Culture Show at 10 o'clock tonight to round off the evening on channelradio.co.uk.
Don't miss it.
Absolutely. But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and her, Jules Serkin, on the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. We've had a fabulous lineup of guests here today. Join us in the studio. And it was an absolute pleasure to talk to Martin White of Supply My Business. The absolutely lovely Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law. Lucy Milton of Dandelion Social Media. And certainly, last but not least, there was the absolutely gorgeous Jill Munro of Jill Munro PR and Communications. Thank you so much, folks, for participating in the Business Bunker Show today.
And Martin's lost his bindi now.
Has he?
Yeah, I'm going to have to pop him another one on.
Did he frown?
Must be men have greasy foreheads.
Yeah, that will be what it is, yeah. No, it's the worry and the stress and all the rest of it that does it. But thank you so much for joining us on the show today. A massive thank you for today's show sponsor, Telcare Limited, the telecoms providers from Rochester on the City Business Estate. Thank you, all the listeners, for listening, tweeting, emailing. Do keep your tweets and emails coming. We're sorry we couldn't get around to all of them. We will read some of them next week. But for the moment, stay tuned to Channel Radio for the rest of the day. But you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and heard your circuit on a Business Bunker show. Have a fabulous week, and we will see you all next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.